A shimmering point of light grows into the outline of a castle in front of a huge moon. A logo appears, Walt Disney Pictures. Another logo, Walt Disney Presents. The dot over the I in Disney erases the words and quickly draws a smiling white dog. Several other dots join the first, and soon the screen is covered with dog drawings. Black spots explode and scatter onto their bodies as the dogs spring to life. Another title appears, 101 Dalmatians, in Technicolor. We zoom in on one spotted Dalmatian smiling and wagging his long tail. Titles appear on his black spots, which expand, pulse, and twirl to the music. With the talents of Rod Taylor, J. Pat O'Malley, Betty Lou Gerson, Martha Wentworth, Ben Wright, Kate Bauer, Dave Frankham, Fred Warlock, Lisa Davis, Tom Conway, Tudor Owen, George Pelling, Ramsey Hill, Sylvia Marriott, Queenie Leonard, Marjorie Bennett, Mickey Maga, Barbara Bier, Mimi Gibson, Sandra Abbott, Thurl Ravenscroft, Bill Lee, Max Smith, Bob Stevens, Paul Wexler, Mary Wicks, Barbara Luddy, Lisa Daniels, Helen Stanley, Don Barclay, Dal McKennon, and Gene Bruns. Production Supervisor, Ken Peterson. Sound Supervisor, Robert O. Cook. Film Editors, Donald Halliday and Roy M. Brewer, Jr. Music Editor, Evelyn Kennedy. Now, Dalmatian spots splatter onto the screen and become musical notes on a staff. Music by George Bruns. Orchestration by Franklin Marks. Songs by Mel Levin. Story by Bill Peet. Typewritten letters spell out, based on the book, The 101 Dalmatians by Dodie Smith. A Dalmatian smiles at more titles, directing animators Milt Kahl, Mark Davis, Ollie Johnston, Frank Thomas, John Lounsbury, and Eric Larson. Now, titles appear between rows of Dalmatians scratching themselves and running across the screen. Character animation, Hal King, Les Clark, Cliff Nordberg, Blaine Gibson, Eric Cleworth, John Sibley, Art Stevens, Julius Svensson, Hal Ambro, Ted Berman, Bill Keel, Don Lusk, Dick Lucas, and Ambi Palawoda. Effects animation, Jack Boyd, Ed Parks, Dan McManus, and Jack Buckley. Now, a bus passes two Dalmatians on a street corner. Color washes over the scene. More titles appear on the red bus. Layout, Basil Davidovich, McLaren Stewart, Vance Jerry, Joe Hale, Dale Barnhart, Ray Aragon, Sammy June Lark, Victor Habouche, Dick Ung, Homer Jonas, and Al Zinnen. Background by Al Dempster, Ralph Hewlett, Anthony Rizzo, and Bill Lane. Character styling, Bill Peet and Tom Oreb. Art direction and production design, Ken Anderson. Directors, Wolfgang Reitherman, Hamilton S. Lusk, and Clyde Geronimi. Now, an aerial view of a city crowded with quaint stone buildings.
My story begins in London, not so very long ago. And yet so much has happened since then that it seems more like an eternity.
A Dalmatian sits at a window.
At that time, I lived with my pet in a bachelor flat just off Regent's Park.
A young blonde-haired man at a piano.
It was a beautiful spring day. Tedious time of the year for bachelors. Oh, that's my pet, Roger. Roger Radcliffe. A musician of sorts. I'm the one with the spots. My name's Pongo. And you know, as far as I could see, the old notion that a bachelor's life was so glamorous and carefree was all nonsense. It was downright dull.
Pongo stretches on his paws and yawns. Then flops down on the window seat. Roger lights a pipe and tosses the match.
It was plain to see that my old pet needed someone. But if it were left up to Roger, we'd be bachelors forever. He was married to his work, writing songs. Songs about romance, of all things. Something he knew absolutely nothing about.
Roger scowls in concentration, then smiles as he tinkers at the keyboard.
Oh, he's intelligent enough, as humans go. And I think you could say Roger is a rather handsome animal in his way. I could see no reason why my pet didn't deserve an attractive mate. At least, I was determined to do my best.
He nudges a magazine.
Of course, dogs are a pretty poor judge of human beauty.
On the cover, a curvaceous girl in a swimsuit.
But I had a rough idea of what to look for.
He looks out the window.
Unusual breed?
A skinny, pointy-nosed woman walks an Afghan hound.
Very unusual.
They plod down the street.
Oh, surely not.
Pungo frowns and shakes his head.
Well, now, what have we here?
A plump woman with a pug.
Well, a little too short couple.
They waddle primly down the street.
Nope. I say. Oh, well, I do say. Now, there's a fancy breed.
A woman prances by with a poodle, both their noses in the air.
Perhaps a little too fancy. Yes, as much too fancy.
An old woman rides by on a bicycle.
Too old. Too young.
A little girl with a puppy.
It was a problem. A real problem.
His head sinks onto the windowsill.
Well, now that's a bit more like it.
Rose's eyes fly open.
The most beautiful creature on four legs.
A slender female Dalmatian.
Oh, now, if only the girl...
A young red-headed woman.
Well, she's very lovely, too. It was almost too good to be true. I'd never find another pair like that, not if I looked for 100 years.
Pongo scampers to another window and peers out.
Ah, you were heading for the park. A perfect meeting place, if I could only arrange it. But Roger never stopped work till after 5.
A clock reads 4:30.
It'll be too late.
Pongo shoots a worried glance at Roger's back. He nudges the minute hand so that the clock reads 5:15 and grins widely. He picks up a leash in his teeth and jumps eagerly at the door. Roger turns and squints at the clock.
After 5 already.
He peers at his wristwatch and holds it up to his ear.
Fancy that. All right, Pongo. All right, boy.
Roger stands with a leisurely stretch while Pongo scratches desperately at the front door. As Roger pulls on his coat, Pongo leaps up with a hat in his teeth and shoves it into his hands. Roger attaches Pongo's leash and starts to light a pipe. Pongo jerks him toward the door. Now, Pongo strains on his leash as he scans the park, his eyebrows raised in an anxious frown. Roger struggles to hold him back.
Pongo, boy, take it easy. What's all the hurry?
Roger almost trips over Pongo, who skids to a stop when he spots the plump woman and her pug. Pongo frowns with disappointment and tugs Roger along.
Pongo, boy, slow down.
Pongo leans forward and drags Roger down a grassy path. As they cross over a stream, Pongo sees the skinny, pointy-nosed woman who sits painting and her Afghan. Roger pauses to watch her work. Pongo hauls him away.
At first, I was afraid we'd miss them. Perhaps they passed on by the park. Then suddenly, I spotted them. It was a perfect situation if I planned it right. I couldn't depend on Roger. I knew what he'd do. He'd settle down on the grass and puff his pipe, and that'd be it. No, it was all up to me. Well...
A young woman sits on a bench reading with her Dalmatian perched daintily by her side. Pongo gulps, then points his nose into the air and struts past. The Dalmatian follows him with her eyes while the girl darts a look at Roger. As Roger and Pongo settle on the grassy stream bank, the female Dalmatian peers curiously at Pongo. When he glances back, she hurriedly looks away.
Well, now, at first, I had no particular plan. Just anything to attract attention. You know, stir things up a bit.
Pongo grabs Roger's hat and crouches playfully, his tail wagging.
Pongo, you silly old thing! Come on! Come on, let's have it, boy. Pongo!
When Roger chases Pongo closer to the bench, the girls shoot curious glances at them.
Pongo!
Roger, puffing his pipe, scowls indulgently at Pongo, who bounces over and tosses the hat onto the bench. The red-haired girl stares at Roger, who gazes back.
Well, for a while it seemed to work. At least they'd seen one another. Things were going along first rate.
Pongo's pink tongue flaps happily.
When for some strange reason, they left.
He scrambles and starts to run. Then Roger tackles him.
Come on, you old renegade. We're going home.
But I wasn't giving up. I was determined that somehow they just had to meet.
Pongo drags Roger toward the girl and wraps his leash around their legs, tying them together.
I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. Please excuse me.
They struggle to keep their balance, then topple towards the stream. The female Dalmatian grabs the girl's jacket in her teeth. Roger, the girl, and Pongo fall into the water, splashing the female Dalmatian. Pongo sits up, his eyes wide.
My new spring suit and my new hat.
Pongo picks up the sopping wet hat with an apologetic smile.
Oh, please let me help you. Oh, I'm so sorry. Pongo, you...
Roger puts it on her head.
Come over to my...
The female dog stalks past Pongo and shakes her coat furiously, splashing him with water.
Never mind. Please, just go away. You've done enough.
She pulls a dripping handkerchief from her purse.
Oh, I say, here. Take mine.
Roger offers his equally soaked handkerchief. Pongo's guilty frown turns into a wide, delighted grin. The female Dalmatian smiles and flirtatiously bats her eyelashes. Pongo's grin turns silly as he gazes dreamily at her. Later, Roger and the girl in a church.
Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health?
Outside, the two Dalmatians gaze tenderly at each other.
Keep thee only unto her, so long as ye both shall live.
I will.
They smile and touch noses.
For the first 6 months or so, we lived in a small house near the park. A modest little place, but just right for two couples who were just starting out.
In a small flat, the smiling Dalmatians snuggle contentedly at a window.
Perdita, darling, are you all right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, dear. After all, dogs were having puppies long before our time.
Purdy licks his nose. A roly-poly maid enters.
Oh, that's Nanny. A wonderful cook and housekeeper. She's such a kind, understanding soul.
She stoops to pick up a piece of paper.
You know, at times she seems almost canine.
Roger, dear! Tea time! Tea time!
Upstairs, Roger sits at his piano. Downstairs, Nanny bangs on the ceiling with a broom handle. Roger ambles down from the attic, carrying a sheet of music, and stops to write something down.
Do you like my new song?
Ta-tum-ti-ta-tum. Such clever lyrics.
Oh, melody first, my dear, and then the lyrics, hmm?
They rub noses. Pongo rejoins Purdy at the window. Purdy's eyes widen in alarm.
Oh, Pongo, it's her. It's that devil woman.
A long crimson roadster careens down the street, scattering birds into the air. Purdy dashes away.
Oh, must be Cruella, your dearly devoted old schoolmate. Cruella de Vil. That's it.
Cruella de Vil. Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh,
to see her is to take a sudden chill.
Roger runs a finger up her spine and creeps toward the stairs.
She's like a spider waiting for the kill.
Roger, she'll hear you.
Roger slips upstairs to his studio.
Let her in, Nanny.
Anita, darling.
How are you?
Miserable, darling, as usual. Perfectly wretched.
Cruella barges in wearing a massive white fur coat.
Where are they? Where are they?
Pongo wrinkles his nose at the greenish smoke trickling from her cigarette holder. She brushes past him.
For heaven's sakes, where are they?
Who, Cruella? I don't...
The puppies! No time for games. Where are the little brutes?
Pongo scowls angrily at her.
Oh, it'll be at least 3 weeks. No rushing these things, you know.
Anita, you're such a wit. Here, dog.
Pongo bares his fangs ferociously.
Cruella, isn't that a new fur coat?
My only true love, darling. I live for furs. I worship furs. After all, is there a woman in all this wretched world who doesn't?
Cruella raises her head full of black and white hair to glare at the ceiling and snarls through scarlet lips.
Oh, I'd like a nice fur, but there are so many other things.
Sweet, simple Anita. I know. This horrid little house is your dream castle.
She stubs her cigarette and a cupcake.
And poor Roger is your bold and fearless Sir Galahad.
Her scrawny body doubles over with laughter.
Oh, Cruella.
And then, of course, you have your little spotted friends. Yes. Yes, I must say, such perfectly beautiful coats.
Won't you have some tea, Cruella?
Now, I've got to run, darling. Now, let me know when the puppies arrive. You will, won't you, dear?
Yes, Cruella.
Now, don't forget, it's a promise. See you in 3 weeks. Cheerio. Cheerio, darling.
Anita collapses on the couch.
Oh.
Roger comes down.
At first you think Cruella is a devil, but after time has worn away the shock, you come to realize you've seen her kind of eyes watching you from underneath a rock.
You're no help, Rog.
This vampire bat, this inhuman beast, she ought to be locked up and never released. The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella, Cruella de Vil.
Pongo blinks bashfully as Roger kisses Anita.
Oh, Roger, you are an idiot.
In the kitchen, Purdy huddles underneath a cabinet.
Purdy?
That witch, that devil woman, she wants our puppies. That's all she's after.
Oh, don't worry, Purdy. They're on to her. Nothing's going to happen to our puppies.
What does she want with them? She can't possibly love them. Oh, Pongo. I was so happy at first, but now I wish we weren't having any.
Eyes wide with sympathy, Pongo crawls over beside her and licks her face tenderly.
Poor Perdita. Of course, she had no choice. The puppies arrived right on schedule, one wild and stormy night in October.
A wall clock reads 10 before midnight. Pongo sits in front of a closed door. Behind him, Roger hunches forward in a chair, puffing his pipe. Pongo leans toward the door and cocks one ear, then scrambles back as Nanny hurries out. His tongue hangs in a wide, eager smile, which fades as Nanny grabs a towel and rushes back inside. His ears drooping in disappointment, he returns to the door, lines of anxiety beneath his eyes. He glances back at Roger, who puffs smoke rings frantically. Pongo licks his hand with a sympathetic expression. Roger almost drops his pipe, then smiles.
Daddy boy.
The puppies are here!
Pongo jumps into Roger's lap.
The puppies are here!
How many?
Eight!
Eight? By George, Pongo! Eight puppies!
They dance around the room.
Ten!
11!
11!
11?
He shakes Pongo's
11
paw.
11 puppies! Pongo boy!
Wait a minute. 13!
Pongo's eyes twirl dazedly.
No. 14!
He grins from ear to ear.
Oh, 15!
15!
He starts to faint.
Mother's doing fine, love. Oh, you ducky thing, you.
15 puppies? Why, Pongo boy, that's marvelous. It's fabulous. Why, you old rascal.
14.
Nanny with a tiny towel-wrapped bundle.
Just 14. We lost one. Oh, poor little thing.
She hands it to Roger, who lifts up a corner of the towel and shakes his head sorrowfully.
Oh, Pongo boy. It's just one of those things.
Pongo's eyes and ears droop.
And yet I wonder.
Pongo's ears perk up. He places a paw on Roger's knee and gazes down as Roger unfolds a corner of the towel and vigorously rubs the tiny still form. Pongo's mouth drops open as he watches with wide, uncertain eyes. As Roger continues to massage the puppy, Pongo's gaze drops miserably to the floor. Then, a tiny sniffing nose pokes out from underneath the towel.
Look, Pongo.
Pongo smiles delightedly and leans forward to touch the white, wriggling puppy with his nose.
Anita! Nanny! 15! We still have 15!
Oh, Roger, he's all right, thank heaven.
See? He's just as good as new.
Can you imagine, Raj? 15 puppies.
15?
Cruella appears.
15 puppies? How marvelous, how marvelous, how perfectly.
She sees the puppy.
Oh, the devil take it, they're mongrels. No spots. No spots at all. What a horrid little white rat. They're not mongrels. They'll get their spots. Just wait and see.
That's right, Cruella. They'll have their spots in a few weeks.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll take them all, the whole litter. Just name your prize, dear.
I'm afraid we can't give them up. Poor Perdita, she'd be heartbroken.
Anita, don't be ridiculous. You can't possibly afford to keep them. You can scarcely afford to feed yourselves.
Oh, well, I'm sure we'll get along.
Yes, I know. I know. Roger's... Roger's songs.
Roger crosses his arms. He and Pongo scowl furiously. Cruella pulls out a checkbook.
Really, enough of this nonsense. I'll pay you twice what they're worth. Come now, I'm being more than generous. Blast this pen! Blast this wretched, wretched pen!
She shakes her pen savagely, flinging ink spots onto Roger and Pongo.
When can the puppies leave their mother? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Never.
Roger stands up to her.
What?
We're not selling the puppies. Not a single one. Do you understand?
Why, Anita, is he serious? I really don't know, Roger.
Well, Cruella, he seems to...
Oh, surely he must be joking.
No, I mean it. You're not getting one. Not one. And that's final.
Pongo nods defiantly.
Why, you horrid man. You... All right. Keep the little beasts for all I care. Do what you like with them. Drown them. But I warn you, Anita, we're through. I'm through with all of you. I'll get even. Just wait. You'll be sorry. You fools. You idiots.
She slams the door behind her. Pongo glares out the shattered glass.
Oh, Roger, you were magnificent, darling.
Oh, he was a bloomin' hero, Mum. Indeed he was. A bloomin' hero.
Pongo pushes open the swinging door and runs down to the basement.
Purdy, darling. Purdy, we're keeping the puppies, every single one of them. My old pet Roger, he told that devil woman off. He told her off, Purdy. She's gone. Oh, darling, she's gone for good.
Oh, Pongo.
Pongo lies down and places his head next to Purdy's. The puppies lie in a row at Purdy's chest, wriggling as they feed. Later, Pongo, Purdy, and the puppies gather in front of a television.
Come on, Thunderbolt!
A muscular, wolf-like dog chases a horse-riding villain across the screen. The puppy's eyes are glued to the TV.
Go get him, Thunder! After him, boy!
He'll get that dirty old horse thief. Old Thunderbolt's the greatest dog in the whole world. He's even better than Dad. No dog's better than Dad.
Pongo smiles proudly.
What's he going to do, Dad?
Shh. Let's just wait and see, huh?
One puppy perches on Pongo's head. The others stare intently at the television.
Look at him run, the old cowrie. That old dirty Dawson, the yellow-livered old skunk.
A puppy with one black eye.
I like to tear his gizzard out.
Why, Patch, where did you ever hear such talk? Certainly not from your mother.
Purdy frowns disapprovingly at Pongo, who grins back. On the screen, Thunderbolt grins slyly as the horse thief aims a gun.
Watch out, Thunder. Don't worry, Penny. He'll get that yellow liver.
Oh. Purdy scowls.
He'll get him all right.
Lucky, get down. We can't see you.
Get down.
Mother, make him get down.
Come on, Lucky, down, dear.
The tiny Dalmatian sits, his tail wagging.
Missed him. Missed him by a mile.
Their tails wag furiously as Thunderbolt leaps across a chasm.
I'm hungry, Mother. I'm hungry.
Now, Rolly, you've just had your dinner.
But I am just the same. I'm so hungry I could eat a whole elephant. There he is behind that rock.
The puppies tense as the villain aims his gun. They duck behind a chair.
Oh, dear. He shot poor Thunder.
He missed him. Oh, Thunder's pretending. I think.
The puppies gape worriedly as the villain approaches Thunderbolt, who grins craftily and cracks open one eye.
See, what did I tell you? It's one of his tricks.
Lucky, get down.
When the villain's face suddenly fills the screen, Lucky scrambles away. Thunderbolt leaps up and attacks the thief, wrestling him to the ground. They roll off a cliff, and a little Dalmatian scowl fiercely at the television. Pongo smiles indulgently as the puppy on his head climbs down his face. Thunderbolt and the thief plunge into a rapids.
I'm hungry, Mother. I really am.
Rolly turns his chubby body around.
Don't miss next week's exciting episode. Who will triumph?
All Thunder always wins.
And speaking of champions, friends, Canine Crunchies is the champion of all dog biscuits.
Canine Crunchies can't be beat. They make each meal a special treat.
The Dalmatians peer curiously at the cartoon dogs dancing across the screen.
Purdy, we'd better get these little nippers off to bed if we're going for a W-A-L-K.
We want to go too, Mother.
Can we, Mother, can we?
We never get to go.
Come along, children. Bedtime.
But we're not a bit sleepy. We want to go for a walk in the park. Dad, can we?
Better do as your mother says.
The puppies follow Purdy out of the room.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
One puppy hesitantly jumps off a chair.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
I'm not sleepy. I'm hungry.
14.
Pongo frowns. He turns and smiles.
Oh,
Lucky is still watching the dancing cartoon dogs. He jumps up and rests his front paws on the television, his tail wagging.
Now remember, friends, just send five...
Oh, Lucky, little rascal. Let's go.
Pongo turns off the TV and picks Lucky up by the collar. Later, Roger and Anita saunter down a dark, peaceful street with Pongo and Purdy. They walk by a parked truck with two pairs of hands holding up newspapers. As they pass, the newspapers lower to reveal two shabbily dressed men, one tall and squinty-eyed, the other short and fat.
There they go, Horace, me lad. Out for their evening constitutional. Now, a lovely pair of turtle doves. Around the Johnny Horner and off to the park.
Yeah, I don't like it, Jasper. One more pinch and they'll throw the keys away.
Oh, come off it, Horace. We're getting plenty of boodle.
Yes, but I've been thinking.
You've been thinking? Now, look here, Horace, I warned you about thinking. I've got the knob for this job, so let's get on with it.
The tall, skinny Jasper drives the rickety truck around the corner. He parks outside Roger and Anita's flat. He and Horace get out.
Oh, nobody home but the little old cook. Well, now, you just leave her to old Jasper. He can handle her real diplomatic-like.
Yes, but I still don't like it.
Inside, the puppies go to bed.
Here, dear. Now, Patch, you settle down. Oh, dear. Go to sleep now. Close your little eyes. That's a good little one.
Nanny frowns and tiptoes to the door. The men's shadows loom outside.
Now, who do you suppose?
She cracks open the door.
Good evening, Mum. We're here to inspect the wiring and the switches.
We're from the gas company.
Electric.
Electric company.
Oh, but we didn't call for any inspection.
Oh, yes, Mum, I know. You see, there's a new act just been passed in Parliament. It comes under the heading of the Defence of the Realm Act. It's Article 4, Section 29. It's very important. It's a law. And it's for your own safety, Mum.
Well, I don't care what Parliament, Realm, or whatever it is says. You're not coming in here, not with the Mr. and the Mrs. gone.
Ah, now, come off it, Ducky. We got no time to palaver. We got a job to do. Excuse me.
They force their way in.
What's the matter with you two? You got cloth ears? I said you're not coming in here.
Oh, she's a regular little tartar, ain't she, Horace?
Jasper snaps her maid's hat.
Don't you dare go up there, you big long-legged lummox. Now I mean it.
She chases him up to the attic.
If you don't get out of this house, I'll call the police, I will.
Jasper traps her inside.
I'll be off with you big weasel.
Now you've been and gone and done it. You've cut me to the quick, lady. Why, I wouldn't stay here if you asked me to.
She throws a teapot.
Not even for a cup of tea. Oi, Horace, me lad. I've got a sneaky suspicion we're not welcome here. Pack up, we're leaving. And sharp's the word and quick's the action.
Horace drags
Let
a bulging
me out.
Bag.
Help! I'll call the police! Help!
As Nanny tugs at the door, Jasper lets go of it.
Good night, Ducky. Ta-ta!
Why, those good-for-nothing hoodlums. Electric company. They're nothing but common sneak thieves.
Outside, their truck swerves away. Nanny storms downstairs.
I'll bet they made off with the good silver. I'll bet they took every last...
The dog bed lies empty.
The puppies! The puppies! They're gone! Fetch! Lucky! Rowley! Oh, they took the puppies! Oh, whatever will I do? Those scoundrels, they stole the puppies! Police! Help!
She rushes to the dark
puppies,
street.
Police! Somebody help me! Help! Help!
Now, a newspaper headline reads, Dog Napping.
Dog napping? Can you imagine such a thing?
Cigarette smoke drifts over the page.
15 puppies stolen. They are darling little things.
Cruella, her black and white hair in curlers.
Anita and her... and her bashful Beethoven. Pipe and all.
She lounges in a red satin bed.
Oh, Roger, you are a fool.
A black fur coat frames her skeletal face with its sharp jutting chin and cheekbones.
Hello.
She sneers.
Jasper. Jasper, you idiot. How dare you call here?
But we don't want no more of this here. We want our boodle.
We'll settle for half.
Not one shilling till the job's done.
Jasper.
You understand?
Jasper.
But it's here in the blinking papers. Pictures and all.
Hang the papers. It'll be forgotten tomorrow.
I don't like it, Jasper.
Shut up, you idiot.
What?
Oh, no. Not you, miss. I mean, Oris here.
Why, you imbecile.
Cruella slams down the phone with her bony, claw-like hands and drags on her cigarette holder through scarlet lips. Her swooping, pencil-thin eyebrows rise in a grimacing smile as she dials the phone. At Roger and Anita's flat.
Scotland Yard. Maybe they found something. Hello? Hello, Inspector?
Is Anita there?
Who?
Anita!
Oh, it's for you.
Hello?
Anita, darling!
Oh, Cruella.
Oh, Anita, what a dreadful thing. I just saw the papers. I couldn't believe it.
Yes, Cruella, it was quite a shock.
What does she want? Is she calling to confess?
Roger, please.
Oh, she's a sly one,
Yes, yes, we're doing everything possible. Yes, we called Scotland Yard, but
Roger grabs the phone.
Where are they?
You idiot!
Anita!
Oh, sorry, Cruella. Oh, yes, if there's any news, we'll let you know. Thank you, Cruella. Roger, I admit she's eccentric, but she's not a thief.
Well, she's still number one suspect in my book.
Oh, she's been investigated by Scotland Yard. What more do you want?
Oh, I don't know, darling. I don't know.
Oh, Rog, what'll we do? What'll we do?
Pongo hangs his head miserably and paces slowly from the room. He finds Purdy lying in the shadows next to the empty dog bed.
Purdy, I'm afraid it's all up to us.
Oh, Pongo, isn't there any hope?
Well, yes, there's the twilight bark.
The twilight bark? But, dear, that's only a gossip chain.
Darling, it's the very fastest way to send news. And if our puppies are anywhere in the city, the London dogs will know. Now we'll send the word tonight when our pets take us for a walk in the park.
They lean their heads close together. Later that night... Pongo cocks his ear hopefully.
There's no one out tonight. I'm afraid it's too cold.
We've got to keep trying, Purdy. Purdy, we're in luck. It's the Great Dane at Hampstead.
Pongo, quiet boy. You want to stir up the whole neighborhood? Come on, Pongo.
Purdy, come on.
Let's go, boy. Oh, Pongo, you old idiot.
Pongo strains desperately at his leash as Roger tries to drag him away.
Come on now, we're going home.
Now, a broad-chested Great Dane stands in a faraway yard, listening attentively. A Yorkie, a shaggy blue furball, dashes out of the house and jumps around the Great Dane's legs.
What is it, Danny? Who's on the telegraph?
It's Pongo, Regent's Park. It's an all-dog alert.
What's it all about? What's the word? Tell me, Danny. Tell me.
Wait a minute.
The jowly Dane frowns in concentration. The Yorkie dashes over to a gate and cocks his tiny ear.
Well, now. That is something.
What, Danny? What something?
15 Dalmatian puppies. Stolen.
Have they called the police? Scotland Yard?
The humans have tried everything. Now it's up to us dogs. The twilight bark.
I'll sound the alert.
Across the city, a bearded Scotty trots out of his doghouse with an annoyed scowl. Then, his eyebrows shoot up in alarm. He dashes over to a drainpipe on the side of a building and barks into it. Our view sweeps up the drainpipe to a loft. The red-headed Afghan, modeling for her skinny, pointy-nosed owner, dashes to the window.
Prissy, come in here!
The artist yanks Prissy inside by the collar, stopping her in mid-howl. Prissy gallops desperately to another window, knocking over an easel. In a pet store window, several puppies and a large, squat bulldog join the chorus. As a black limousine drives by, the elaborately coiffed gray poodle jumps onto its roof. Dogs flood into the shadowy street as the limousine rolls away. Now, our view floats over the dark city. Window lights blink on and off. One neon sign reads, Canine Crunchies. The scene dissolves to rural farmland. The moon casts pale shadows on acres of open pasture. Next to a barn, the silhouette of a dog stands barking into the night sky. On a wide, calm river, a dog stands on the deck of a slowly chugging boat. Now, a floppy-eared bloodhound leans attentively in the direction of the boat. A goose hurries up behind him.
Towser, Towser, what's going on? What is it? What's all the gossip?
Tain't no gossip, Lucy. It be all the way from London.
You don't say.
15 puppies stolen.
Well, there's no puppies around here. Not since Nellie's last litter. And they're all grown up.
Well, then, we'd best send the word along. It'd be up to me to reach the colonel. He'd be the only one in barking range.
Oh, you'll never reach him at this hour.
Well, I can try. I'll bark all night if I have to.
Towser points his nose in the direction of a distant farm. Lucy flutters eagerly beside him. Our view glides over a deep valley, through the farm gate, and toward a dilapidated barn. A horse with a ragged gray mane pushes open a door with his nose.
Sounds like old Towser. It's an alert. Sergeant. Sergeant Tibbs.
An orange cat sleeps on the horse's back.
What? Oh, yes, Captain.
Barking signal. It's an alert. Report to the colonel at once.
Yes, sir. Righto, sir. Right away, sir.
The cat leaps gracefully to the rafters and jumps down to a hay pile.
Colonel. I say, Colonel. Colonel, sir.
The hay pile rises up beneath him.
Colonel!
A shaggy sheepdog.
What? Who goes there?
Sergeant Tibbs reporting, sir.
Tibbs? Oh, yes, Sergeant Tibbs.
Colonel, sir.
Now, look here, Tibbs. What's the idea of barging in at this hour of the night?
But, Colonel...
Hold on, Sergeant. You hear that?
He lifts one of his ears.
Sounds like an alert.
Yes, Colonel.
Well, we better look into it. Come along, Tibbs, on the double.
Yes, sir. Righto, sir.
Tibbs marches smartly behind the lumbering sheepdog.
It's old Towser down at Weathermarsh, sir. By Jove, yes. So it is. Well, I'll see what he wants.
On top of the distant hill, Towser listens intently. Lucy lifts his floppy ear in her beak.
It be the colonel. Toad boy himself. He wants the message.
You'd better make it loud and clear, or he'll never get it.
Now at the barn.
One long howl, two short, one yip and a woof.
Two yips, sir.
What's the word, Colonel? It's from London.
Then it must be important.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll get the rest of it. Sounds like a number.
Three fives of 13.
That's 15, sir.
15? Of course, 15. Yes, Dot, Spotted Puddings, Poodles. No, Puddles.
Puddles, sir?
15 Spotted Puddles stolen. Oh, balderdash.
The colonel sinks to the floor. The captain frowns at Tibbs.
Better double check it, Colonel.
Oh, yes, I suppose I better. Two wolves, one yip and a wolf.
It sounds like puppies, sir.
Of course, puppies.
Colonel, sir, I just remembered. Two nights past, I heard puppy barking over at Hell Hall.
You mean the old DeVille place? Nonsense, Tibbs. No one's lived there for years.
Hold on. There's smoke coming from the chimney.
By Joe, strange. Strange indeed. Well, I suppose we'd better investigate. I'll send word for old Towser to stand by.
Please stand by.
What's he mean by that?
Don't know. Oh, maybe the old boy's found something.
Oh, I do hope so.
Now, with Tibbs on his back, the colonel stops outside a tall iron gate surrounding the dark, gloomy DeVille mansion.
They say the old place is haunted or bewitched or some such fiddle-faddle.
Fiddle-faddle and rot, sir.
Just the same, Sergeant. Use extreme caution. No telling what sort of hocus-pocus you might run into.
Tibbs' eyes are wide as saucers.
Well, blast it all, Tibbs. On the double, man, on the double.
Yes, sir. Righto, sir. Right away, sir.
Tibbs salutes smartly and scoots up the trunk of a nearby tree to a high branch. Then he jumps over a tall stone wall into another tree. He leaps onto the ledge of a window. Its bricks crumble and fall beneath him. Tibbs scrambles to his feet. Wiping a thick layer of dust from the window, he peers inside with wide, frightened eyes. We scan down an ornate, banistered staircase, past a suit of armor, to a set of doors with light seeping out underneath. Tibbs leans heavily on the window, then hangs on it as it swings open. He drops to the floor and slinks to a hole in the wall next to the doors. Poking his head in, he squeezes through and spots a pair of Dalmatian puppies.
Psst. Rover. Spotty.
What?
Are you one of the 15 stolen puppies?
Oh, no, we're not stolen. We're bought and paid for. There's 99 of us all together.
99?
Heaps and piles of sleeping Dalmatian puppies blanket the room, lying on top of each other.
How about that bunch of little ones? They have names and colors. They're not from the pet shops.
15 of them.
We never counted them. They're over there by the TV.
Purdy's puppies crowd around a television, gazing up at dancing cartoon flowers. Lucky places his front paws on the screen.
And I'd better count them.
Watch out for the Baddens.
Baddens?
Those two blokes, Horace and Jasper. They're mean ones, they are.
Jasper guzzles a bottle of wine and places it on an upturned crate while Horace gobbles a sandwich. Tibbs jumps up next to the bottle and sneaks a glance at the puppies.
Hey, look, Horace! Watch me potty's lordship smack on the conk.
Jasper throws a dart at a painting of an old man.
How's that for calling him, eh?
Horace plunks down onto the floor holding two more sandwiches. Jasper swigs the wine.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Hey, Jasper!
Horace gropes for Jasper's bottle.
Yeah. Just a short one. Now, Horace, this here ogwash ain't fit for a fancy bloke like yourself. Besides, you get crumbs in it, you cabbage head.
Tibbs ducks as Jasper plunks the bottle beside him. As Horace looks away, Rolly grabs the meat from his sandwich and scoots under the couch. Horace takes a bite, then dolefully looks down at the empty bread.
Hey, Jasper. Did you...
Jasper flicks cigar ash onto the bread.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11...
Hey! Get down, you little runt, and stay down!
Horace pushes Lucky down from the TV. Patch yaps at him.
Gone! Get out of here, or I'll flat your other people.
Behind the couch, Tibbs pokes his head up and resumes counting.
9, 9, 3 more, 12, and 1, 2, 3. That's 15. They're the ones.
Jasper reaches for the bottle and grabs Tibbs instead. As Jasper scrubs at his mouth, Tibbs dashes away.
Hey, Horace, look what we got. A tabby cat.
Tib slams a piano lid on Horace, whose face mashes a cake. Jasper throws darts.
How'd you like a tabby cat stew?
Tibbs dodges them.
Or a cat casserole.
Tibbs runs for the hole in the wall.
All a moot!
Jasper hurls the wine bottle at Tibbs, who scrambles out just in time. Now, in London, dense fog shrouds the Big Ben Tower and the empty, dimly lit streets. In Roger and Anita's flat, Pongo stands at a window with lines of fatigue around his eyes and lifts up one ear.
What is it, Pongo? What is it?
Shh! It's the Great Dane. He has news for us. He'll meet us at Primrose Hill.
How'll we get out?
The back bedroom window. It's always open a wee bit. Come on!
Later, in the park, the Great Dane stands on a hill.
Pongos, you've made it. Good.
What's the word? What's the news?
Have they found our puppies?
They've been located somewhere north of here, in Suffolk.
Oh, thank heaven.
Can you leave tonight?
Yes, of course.
We can leave right away.
Good. I'll go along with you as far as Camden Road and give you instructions.
The three dogs gallop side by side out of the moonlit park. Later, they cross a bridge over a dingy, boat-filled river.
And when you reach Withermarsh, contact old Towser. He'll direct you to the Colonel, and the Colonel will take you to your puppies at the DeVille place.
DeVille?
The DeVille place?
Oh, Pongo, it was her.
Oh, someone you know.
Sorry, sir. There's no time to explain.
Pongo and Purdy dash into a tunnel.
Oh, I hope we're not too late.
Good luck, Pongo. If you lose your way, contact the barking chain. They'll be standing by!
Later, Pongo and Purdy dash across a vast open field. Purdy slows down, and Pongo waits for her to catch up. Now, thick snow wafts down from an iron-gray sky. The Dalmatians run across a slushy road and leap over a split-rail fence. A hulking black truck lurches down the wet, icy road and swerves, barely missing the dogs as they dash across. Pongo and Purdy jump into a stream and stagger through the water onto an embankment. Later, they bound and slip down a steep hill covered with deep snowdrifts. A blizzard blows through the air, pinning their ears back against their heads. Now, they arrive at a wide, rushing river with floating chunks of ice. They hesitate on the bank, watching the breakneck speed of the current. Finally, Pongo wades in and gasps as he fights the swift flowing tide. Purdy jumps in and paddles furiously, struggling to keep her head above the water. At the farm, Tibbs and the Colonel perch on a snow-covered wagon, their ears cocked alertly. The horse, Captain, pokes his head out of the barn door.
Any news, Colonel? Not a blasted thing. They're lost or captured or something or other. Who knows what?
Colonel, sir. Colonel, here comes a car.
Oh, come now, Tibbs. Don't be ridiculous. They wouldn't be driving.
Yes, I know, sir. But it's heading for Hell Horn.
Cruella's car swerves jerkily down the snowy lane.
It's stopping at the gate.
It is? Well, blast it all, Tibbs. Better see what's up. On the double, man. On the double.
Yes, sir.
The shaggy Colonel bumbles through the snow.
Take over, Captain. Righto, sir.
With Tibbs clinging to his back, the Colonel heads for the mansion. Inside, Cruella paces impatiently, trickling cigarette smoke while Jasper and Horace watch a television game show.
I've got no time to argue. I tell you, it's got to be done tonight.
Tibbs peers through the hole in the wall as Cruella turns off the TV.
Do you understand? Tonight!
But they ain't big enough.
You couldn't get half a dozen coats out of the old caboodle.
Coats? Dogskin? Coats? Then we'll settle for half a dozen. We can't wait. The police are everywhere. I want the job done tonight.
How are we going to do it?
Any way you like. Poison them, drown them, bash them in the head. You got any chloroform?
Not a drop.
And no ether. Either.
Either.
I don't care how you kill the little beast, but do it! And do it now!
Oh, please, miss, now have pity, will you? Can't we see the rest of the show first?
We want to see what's my crime.
Cruella grabs Jasper's wine bottle. She hurls it into the fireplace. Horace clings fearfully to Jasper.
Now listen, you idiots. I'll be back first thing in the morning. And the job better be done or I'll... I'll,
police! Do you understand?
Cruella slams the door, cracking the ceiling. A chunk of plaster drops on Horace's head.
I think she means it, Jasper.
Yeah. We'll get on with it as soon as the show's over.
Jasper frowns and turns the TV back on.
Will you please sign in, sir?
On the screen, a hand scrawls on a chalkboard.
Hey, kids, you better get out of here if you want to save your skins.
But how?
Shh. There's a hole in the wall. There by the door. Come on, shake a leg. Psst, kids, follow me.
Hey, Jasper, look. It's old Meathead.
A hulking, goofy-faced criminal on screen.
Yes. Hey, what do you know? Old Meathead Fauntswater.
The puppies start to file out the hole.
Come on now, don't crowd. One at a time, one at a time.
Now for our last contestant this evening panel, meet Mr. Percival Fauntswater. Now, Mr. Fauntswater, if the panel fails to guess your unusual crime in 10 questions, you will receive 2 weeks' vacation at a fashionable seaside resort, all expenses paid. That is, of course, after you paid your debt to society.
The criminal's smile fades as he peers up at a policeman.
Now, who will take the first question, Inspector?
Mr. Fauntswater. Could your crime be classified as larceny, as theft, you know,
string out.
Burglary of some sort?
Form a queue along the wall. Come on, snap it up faster.
The puppies lower their heads and sneak past Horace and Jasper, who stare intently at the television. One by one, they jump up and climb through the hole.
Down, 9 to go. Miss Birdwell?
If your crime wasn't robbery, well then did you... Oh dear, but what I mean is, do something of a violent nature...
No, that is... Come, Miss Birdwell, we're running short of time.
A clock in the television studio reads 2:02.
Someone
is. No, Miss Birdwell.
Tibbs' eyebrows shoot up in alarm when he spots Lucky sitting directly in front of the TV.
Mr. Simpkins?
Oh, yes. Psst. Your crime was not robbery and not homicide.
Lucky glances at Tibbs with a frown, then turns back to the screen. Tibbs tries to grab Lucky's wagging tail as Lucky places his front paws on the TV.
The answer is
no. Hey, get out of the way, you little runt.
Jasper tosses Lucky behind him.
Seven to go.
Tibbs catches him in midair and trips on a bottle. When he hits the ground, Lucky sails into the air and through the hole.
Surely this crime could...
I'm terribly sorry. I'm afraid we've run out of time.
Now, ain't that always the way?
Tibbs picks up the chubby Rolling, the last puppy in the room, and tries to shove him through the small hole. He looks back in alarm at Jasper and Horace as he pushes on Rolly's bottom, his paws spinning desperately. The two thugs stand up and stretch.
Oh, well. Oh, come on, Horace. Let's get on with it.
Jasper picks up a fire poker.
I'll pop him on the head. You do the skinning.
Oh, no, you don't, Jasper. I'll pop him off and you do the skinning.
Tibbs finally pops Rolly through the hole.
Hey, Horace, look. They're gone. They flew the coop right out through this little hole. Here, grab a torch. We'll run them down before you can say Bob's your uncle.
They beam their flashlights into the dark, dusty hallway. The last puppies scamper up the staircase, except for Rolly, who slips down a few steps.
There they go, Horace. Up the stairs.
Jasper hides the poker behind his back.
Yeah, puppies.
Rolly scoots up the stairs and down a hallway. Jasper and Horace creep behind him.
Here, puppies, come on. Now, don't go hiding from your old Uncle Jasper.
A door stands open at the end of the hall.
Oh, I ain't gonna hurt you.
But I thought we was gonna pop them all.
Shut up. Now take a squint in there and I'll check these other two rooms.
Jasper creeps into a dark, dreary bedroom.
Here, puppies.
He lifts up a dusty sheet to peer under the bed.
Puppies, come on out. Come out wherever you are.
The puppies swarm over him.
It's that mangy tabby cat. He's the ringleader. Head him off, Horace. Head him off.
As the puppies pour down the stairs, Horace and Jasper crash and tumble down.
Oh, you bungling blockhead.
Tibbs crouches under the stairs.
Back here, back here.
The puppies crowd behind him as the colonel peers in through a window.
Here they come.
Double-crossing little twerps. Pulling a snitch on us, and after we took care of them all this time. There's gratitude for you.
It ain't fair, Jasper.
Rolly comes downstairs. Tibbs grabs his tail.
Hey, Horace, there they go.
Led by Tibbs, the puppies take off down the hall.
Sergeant, I say Sergeant.
Sorry, sir, no time to explain. Busy, sir.
Tibbs salutes the colonel at a window, then dashes off with the puppies into a deserted study. Horace and Jasper follow them in.
Shut that door, Horace.
We'll close in on them. There's enough of this ring around a Rosie.
Now, Pongo and Purdy trot down a snow-covered lane and hesitate at a fork in the road.
Oh, Pongo, Pongo, I'm afraid we're lost.
It can't be far.
The Colonel's ears perk up.
By Jove! It can't be the Pongos!
He starts to run, then slips on a patch of ice and slides headfirst into a snowbank.
It's the Colonel. Come on, this way.
Frowning with determination, Pongo and Purdy gallop toward the Colonel, whose head pokes up out of a drift.
Colonel? Are you the Colonel?
Oh, you're a Pingo? Pongo?
Oh, puppies, are they all right?
No time to explain. I'm afraid there's trouble. Big hullabaloo. Come along.
They dash past him.
Follow me.
He stumbles on the ice. Inside, Jasper's shadow looms over Tibbs and the puppies.
Now we've got a Morris. They've run out of room.
Pongo and Purdy crash
hey,
in.
Hey, what have we got here? A couple of spotted hyenas? Come on, Horace, old pal. Give them what for. I'm right behind you, lad. Oh, you clumsy clod.
Horace swings a club at Pongo and hits Jasper on the head. Pongo and Purdy tear ferociously at Horace's coat. As Jasper picks up a chair, Pongo jumps up and knocks him over, sending the chair flying.
Well, by George.
As Jasper wrestles with Pongo on his sleeve, he glares at one of the puppies, who quickly retreats. Pongo bites into his shoe and shakes it.
Hey, you mangy muggle!
Jasper sends him flying with a kick in the head.
I'll knock your blinking block off!
Pongo bites his bottom.
Blast him, Tibbs! Go on, give him what for!
No, Colonel, retreat!
Yes, yes, of course, retreat! Retreat, on the double!
Tibbs and the Colonel hastily lead the puppies away from the mansion.
Jasper, get me out of here!
Hey, Horace, they're fighting Danny!
Jasper's pants fall around his ankles as Pongo snaps his suspenders. Purdy pulls Horace's coat over his head, then pulls a rug out from under his feet. He falls into the fireplace and turns beet red.
Jasper!
Horace is bottom on fire, collides with Jasper into a wall. The plaster ceiling cracks and collapses on top of them.
Come on, Purdy. Let's go.
Pongo and Purdy sprint into the cold night air. Horace and Jasper burst out of the front door.
I'll skin every one of them little spotted hyenas if it's the last thing I do.
Now, Pongo and Purdy dash into the barn.
Dad! Mother!
The puppies climb joyfully all over them.
Oh, my darlings, my darlings.
How'd you find us, Dad?
Lucky! Patch, Pepper!
The Colonel and Tibbs look on with satisfied smiles.
And Rolly, you little rascal.
Did you bring me anything to eat?
Everybody here? All 15?
Twice that many, Dad. Now there's 99 of us.
What? 99? Where did they all come from?
What on earth would she want with so many?
She's gonna make coats out of us.
She couldn't.
That's right, dogskin coats.
Oh, dogskin coats. Oh, come now, Tibbs.
But it's true, sir.
Horace and Jasper are gonna pop us off and skin us.
She's a devil. Oh, a witch. Oh, what'll we do?
We have to get back to London somehow.
What about the others? What'll they do?
Purdy, we'll take them home with us. All of them. Our pets would never turn them out.
Colonel, sir. Lights on the road. It's a truck heading this way.
It's the Baddens, Horace and Jasper. They're following our tracks.
Well, we've got them outnumbered, Tibbs. When I give the signal, we'll attack.
Oh, Colonel, sir, I'm afraid that would be disastrous.
Oh, you think so?
He's right, Colonel. We'd better run for it. Out the back way and across the pasture. Thank you, Sergeant. Colonel, Captain.
Bless you all.
How can we ever repay you for what you've done?
Oh, nothing at all. All in the line of duty.
That's right, sir. Routine.
Better be off. Here they come.
Horace and Jasper climb out of the truck.
Come on, kids, hurry.
Good luck, Pongos.
Yes, good luck. And never fear, we'll hold them off to the bitter end.
Now, what's this? Here, Alamo, away your barking, eh, Stagger? I'll knock your blinking block off.
Jasper swings the poker at the shaggy colonel, who tries to block his path. Pongo hurries the last puppies out.
Well, they ain't in here, Jasper. Nah, they're hiding in the hay. Here, give me a match. We'll burn them out.
Ready, Captain? Aim. Fire one.
Captain kicks Jasper through the wall.
Fire two.
Then Horace.
Hey, there they go, the little sneaks. Come on, Horace, back to the truck. We'll let them off in half a mile.
They climb back into their truck and speed down the snowy road. They stop abruptly on a bridge over a frozen stream. The Dalmatians hide on the ice underneath.
They gotta be around here somewhere.
Jasper, I've been thinking.
Now, Horace.
But what if they went down the froze-up creek so's not to leave their tracks?
Oh, Horace, you idiot. Dogs ain't that smart.
Rolly slides out from under the bridge, then heaves a sigh of relief as Horace's flashlight moves away. The thieves drive off in the rickety truck. Pongo watches them go.
All clear, Purdy. All clear.
We didn't slip. Didn't we, Dad? They didn't even see us, Patch.
Shh, children, children.
One puppy grabs onto Purdy's tail, and two others do the same, sliding awkwardly as she pulls them in a puppy chain. The other puppies slip and stumble, falling down and sliding into each other.
My feet are slippery. I wish we could walk on the snow.
Oh, no, son, we can't leave tracks.
Pongo picks him up by the collar and carries him to the others, slipping and landing briefly on his rump. The next morning, Cruella's crimson roadster lurches crazily down a road, barely missing Jasper and Horace's truck. She turns around and sneers at the truck, then zooms into reverse and stops beside them.
Well, any sign of them?
Not so much as one blooming footprint. And we've been up and down every blinking road in the old county.
We're froze stiff. We're giving up.
Oh, no, you don't. We'll find the little mongrels if it takes till next Christmas. Now get going and watch your driving, you imbeciles. You want to get nabbed by the police?
Jasper and Horace cower and tremble. Cruella slams into reverse, then races past them, showering their windshield with flying snow. Now, Purdy leads the puppies as they trudge wearily through deep snowdrifts, their heads lowered against the windy storm. Struggling to lift each paw, the puppies stagger forward in single file. Pongo, crouching miserably against the gale, brings up the rear.
93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, oh, Lucky.
Lucky sits in the snow, huddled into a shivering ball.
Come on, Lucky boy. We can't give up now.
I'm tired, and I'm hungry. And my tail's froze, and my nose is froze, and my ears are froze, and my toes are froze.
Pongo!
A handsome collie lopes toward them.
Pongo! Pongo! Oh, we just about lost hope. We have shelter for you at the dairy barn across the road.
Oh, thank goodness. Purdy! Purdy!
Pongo scrambles to catch up to Purdy.
This way, Purdy. The dairy barn across the road.
Come on, kids.
The puppies hang their heads, squeezing their eyes shut against the snow, and turn around.
It's not far. Come on. This way. Follow the collie.
Pongo grabs Lucky by the collar and trots after the collie. The exhausted puppies stumble through the snow and crawl over a split rail fence. As they near a farmhouse, the handsome brown collie pushes open a door, and they all file into a dry, hay-filled barn. Four cows smile down at the weary puppies.
Just look, Queen. Have you ever seen so many puppies? Aren't they adorable? Perfectly darling. The poor little dears. They're completely worn out and half frozen.
Pongo and Purdy enter.
They all here, Pongo?
Yes, dear. All 99 accounted for.
The famous Pongos. We were so worried about you.
Been trying to reach you for hours. Afraid you'd been captured.
How did you ever make it all this way? And in such dreadful weather. And with all those little ones.
I'm hungry, Mother. I'm hungry. I'm hungry too, Mother.
Mother, we're all hungry.
I'm sorry, children. Do they like warm milk? It's fresh.
Oh. Where, Mother? Where is it?
Where is the milk?
Come and get it, kids. It's on the house.
This way, children. Around this way.
They dash into the cow stalls.
Now don't crowd. You'll have to take turns.
They suck hungrily at the cow's udders. Rolly tries to squeeze in.
Rolly, wait your turn, dear.
He climbs onto a milk stool and reaches for the udder, then falls off.
Don't worry, kids. There's plenty for all. The little darlings.
Pongo, a few scraps I saved for you and the missus.
Oh, thank you.
It's not much, but it might hold you as far as Dinsford.
Dinsford?
Yes, there's a Labrador there. His pet is a grocer.
I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, quite all right, quite all right. Now get some rest and don't worry, I'll be standing watch.
Pongo and Purdy collapse wearily.
I don't know what we'd have done if...
Oh, we're very honored to be of service.
We're only sorry we can't do more.
Anyone who would think of hurting these dear little puppies.
Shh, Duchess. They're so dear. I wish they could stay here with us for always.
Princess, shh. Quiet, everyone. Let them sleep, the poor things. They're so exhausted, and they still have such a long way to go.
The sleeping Dalmatians lie scattered on the hay. The next morning, newly fallen snow blankets a wooded clearing. Purdy leads the puppies as they charge energetically through the trees, scampering in droves over fallen logs. They emerge through a hole in a rickety fence and trot across a smooth, unmarked road. Pongo, following behind, stops and perks up his ears in alarm. He scrambles through a deep drift and leaps over the fence, ushering the last puppies across the road.
Hurry, kids! Hurry!
Pongo snaps a low branch off a pine tree and holds it in his teeth. Shaking his head from side to side, he erases the paw prints from the snowy road. As Cruella's car appears on the hill, he tosses the branch aside and runs into the woods. Cruella slams the car into reverse and leans her pointy chin out the window.
Well, now, what have we here?
She sees the tracks leading into the woods.
Well, so they thought they could outwit Cruella. Jasper! Horace!
They totter down the road in their truck and stop beside her.
Here's our tracks, heading straight for the village.
Blimey. Oh, it's them all right.
Work your way south on the side roads. I'll take the main road.
She zooms past them, sending their truck into a tailspin. Now, a black Labrador stands outside a rustic stone building in a village. A street sign reads, Dinsford. Pongo, Purdy, and the puppies run eagerly toward him.
Pongo! I've got a ride home for you.
A ride home? Purdy, did you hear that?
For all of us?
You mean we don't have to walk anymore?
If we can manage it. Come on, we'd better hurry.
We've got a ride home. Come on, children.
The puppies bound excitedly after Purdy and into a ramshackle barn. The Labrador, Pongo, and Purdy peer out a broken window.
See the van down the street? It's going to London as soon as the engine's repaired. And there's room for all of you.
Pongo, there's Cruella.
As the red roadster chugs down the narrow street, the dogs duck. Cruella slows down. As she passes the broken window, she leans out and peers inside with a grouchy, piercing scowl.
Yes, and Jasper and Horace.
Pongo, how will we get to the van?
I don't know, Purdy, but somehow we've got to.
Mother, Dad. Patch pushed me in the fireplace.
Lucky pushed me first.
Did not.
Did too.
Did not.
Did too.
Did
Lucky
not.
And Patch are covered in black soot.
Please, children, don't quarrel.
Say, Purdy, I've got an idea.
Pongo jumps into the pile of soot and rolls around.
Pongo, what on earth?
Look, I'm a Labrador. We'll all roll in the soot. We'll all be Labradors.
Say, that is an idea.
Come on, kids, roll in the soot.
You mean you want us to get dirty?
Did you hear that, Freckles? Dad wants us to get dirty.
Mother, should we?
Do as your father says.
This'll be fun. I always wanted to get good and dirty.
The puppies spring joyfully into the soot pile.
That's the stuff. The blacker, the better.
I'm ready.
Me too.
The black puppies run to the door.
Wait a minute now. That's enough. Not too many at a time. Rolly, hold on, son. You're only half done.
He grabs Rolly's white tail.
Now, stay right with me, kids.
The Labrador slinks to the door, then hides as the truck rolls by.
We're gonna fool the old mad lady.
The Labrador cautiously looks outside, then leads 8 soot-covered puppies into the street. Horace and Jasper search the nearby buildings.
Pongo, I'm so afraid.
The puppies trot toward the van.
Look, Jasper, do you suppose they disguise themselves?
Say now, Horace, that's just what they did. Dogs is always painting themselves black. You idiot!
The Labrador starts tossing the puppies into the back of the furniture-filled van.
Well, so far, so good. Come on, Purdy. Better get on your makeup. I'll go ahead with the next bunch.
Purdy ducks as Cruella rolls by. Her car stops outside the barn. Pongo and another batch of puppies crouch beside the door. Purdy peeks out the window just as Jasper and Horace approach.
Jasper! Horace!
They move reluctantly away.
Well?
Oh, now, be reasonable, miss.
We're froze clean to our bone.
We've been out all night and all day and with nothing to eat.
They're somewhere in this village and we're going to find them. Now get going!
As Cruella drives off, Pongo arrives at the van.
You think they've seen us?
The van's engine starts.
No, but we're running out of time.
Fire again, mate.
Hurry, Purdy. The van's about ready to leave.
Purdy joins the Labrador as he lifts the puppies onto the van. Her eyes widen when she spots Horace and Jasper.
Better hurry.
Purdy sprints back to the barn just as Pongo steps out, leading another pack of puppies. Cruella spots one of them and leans out the window, craning her neck to peer into the back of the van. The puppies press up against the wall, out of sight. As she passes, the Labrador emerges from behind a gas pump, holding a puppy by the collar. Purdy trots out of the barn with another bunch.
I'll get the rest.
Oh, that ought to do it. At least you'll get you back to London.
Better get aboard, miss.
Now, Pongo stops short, his eyes wide in horror as Horace investigates the barn door.
Hey, Jasper.
He gulps as Horace points to the trail of paw prints. He and Jasper start to pry open the door. Inside, the puppies scramble around frantically.
Come on, Horace.
As they trudge around to the back, Pongo dashes inside and rounds up the last puppies.
Hurry, kids!
They dart outside. Cruella's car bears down on them, jolting to a stop just inches away. She glares at them as they creep past her, cowering.
Come on, kids. Run on ahead.
Cruella narrows her razor-sharp eyes.
She's watching us, Dad.
Keep going, keep going.
As the puppies scurry along, water from melting icicles drips onto their coats, leaving large white splotches. Pongo looks up in dismay.
It can't be. It's impossible.
The van pulls away. Pongo pulls a clean puppy out of a snow pile.
Run for it!
Jasper!
They break down the barn door, showering Cruella with timbers.
There they go! In the van! After them! After them!
The Labrador tosses another puppy to Purdy, then turns to attack Jasper and Horace, while Pongo sprints after the van with a puppy in his teeth. He hands it to Purdy, then jumps in. As the truck bounces along the snowy road, the puppies poke their heads up out of bureau drawers and boxes, their eyes wide with fright. Behind them, Jasper and Horace take a wrong turn, but Cruella veers sharply to follow the van.
Pongo! There she is! Cruella!
Cruella zooms up alongside the van and bashes into its side. The van almost falls over a cliff.
Hey, lady! What in thunder you trying to do, crazy woman driver?
Cruella turns and smashes the van's other side, trying to force it off the road. Sparks fly as the cars crunch together. Cruella snarls, then looks out her front windshield. Her skeletal face gapes in horror. She slams on the brakes as her car skids into a ravine, while the van escapes onto a bridge. Her car smashes through a warning gate and ricochets down a steep, snowy hill. Cruella grits her teeth and plows uphill through the deep snow. Her car flies over the edge and smashes through a treetop. Red eyes blazing, she chases the van. The hood of her car is ripped off.
Pongo, look!
Just Bob! There ain't nothing to it! I'll give him a bit of a nudge and shove him in the ditch!
Jasper's truck speeds toward the van while Cruella races behind it, her nostrils flared and eyes lit up devilishly. Her front fender rams into the van and gets caught on its rear. The two attached cars swerve crazily.
Purdy, watch out!
Purdy grabs a falling puppy in midair by its tail. Cruella bulldozes from behind as the van driver struggles to hang onto the wheel.
Jasper!
The truck hurtles toward them. It smashes Cruella's car into smithereens and plunges into the ravine. Free of the roadster, the van bounces roughly a few times and continues down the road.
You idiots! You fools! Oh, you imbeciles!
Ah, shut up!
The three slouch miserably, surrounded by pieces of their cars. Later, at Roger and Anita's flat.
Watching you from underneath the rock.
Roger slumps next to a radio while Anita decorates a Christmas tree.
Roger, after all, that's your first big hit. It's made more money than we ever dreamed of.
Yes, I know. I still can't believe that Pongo and Purdy would run away.
Here's a bit of Christmas cheer for you. If there's anything to be cheerful about. Oh, the dear little things.
Nanny dabs her eyes.
Sometimes at night, I can hear them barking. But it always turns out I'm dreaming.
Nanny comes back out of the kitchen, her eyes wide. She rushes to the front door. The soot-covered Dalmatians bound in joyfully, knock her over, and cover Roger and Anita in paw prints.
Was a Labrador?
No, no, they're covered with soot. Look, here's Lucky.
Oh, Pongo boy, is that you? Oh, Pongo!
Roger dances Pongo around the room.
It's Pongo!
And Birdie, oh my darling!
And Rolly, and Penny, and Freckles.
Nanny dusts them off.
They're all here, the little dears.
It's a miracle.
Oh, Roger, what a wonderful Christmas present.
And look, there's a whole lot more.
Look, Anita, puppies everywhere.
There must be 100 of them.
1, 2, 3, and 4 is 7. 8, 2, 4, 6, and 3 is 9,
plus 2 is 11.
36 over here.
36 and 11, that's 47.
14, 18, Roger.
That's 65.
10, 11, 12. 13!
Wait a minute. 6 more.
Let's see now. That's 84. And 15 plus 2, 101.
101? Well, where did they all come from?
Oh, Pongo, you old rascal.
What'll we do with them?
We'll keep them.
In this little house?
We'll buy a big place in the country.
All the Dalmatians grin.
We'll have a plantation. A Dalmatian plantation.
Raj, that's truly an inspiration.
It'll be a sensation.
We'll have a Dalmatian plantation. A Dalmatian plantation, I say.
We'll have a Dalmatian plantation where our population can roam.
I'm hungry,
in
Mother.
In this new location, our whole aggregation will love our plantation home.
Covered in soot, Nanny's face beams as she jigs around in a circle, waving her feather duster.
Dalmatian plantation home.
Outside, over the dark, peaceful city, lights start to flicker on in all the windows. The whole city lights up like a Christmas tree. A title appears, The End, a Walt Disney production, distributed by Buena Vista Distribution Company, Incorporated.